We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt, that guy over there in Chicagoland, the one and only Daniel Rubenstein V. Sir, how are you?
Oh, man. I really hope there are not four more in this line ahead of me that I don't know about. That would be very strange. I'm pretty good. It's sunny-ish. I ate a not sad dad lunch today. We have a number of excellent questions that have come in. We have the NFL draft in our rearview mirror. I don't know if you have, because we played the 2022. We played the 2022 mock draft, looking at players that are projected to be taken early next year and looking at their position groups and situations going into the 2021 season. And I almost sent over a description of the episode that included, "We examine their units." Then I thought to myself,
No.
We probably shouldn't do that.
It's a family show, Dan. It's a family show. Family, you know, show. That.
Yeah. So I'm all right. I'm in a pretty good mood. I got a good night's sleep last night. The baby is sleeping more and more, which is pretty excellent. And look, life is all right. I can't complain.
Didn't you say that the solid toddler may be across the hall from you at present doing his own podcast of sorts?
Yeah, he was refusing to take a nap and standing up in his crib and just not upset, just running through some goofs, running through some songs. He had a one-man show in there, and I was watching it, and solid wife Jody was watching it, Jody without an eye, excuse me, watching it in the camera monitor. He was like, he's just performing, unsure if anybody's actually paying attention, but there he is alone in his room running through material. So it's a family affair here in this house.
Well, welcome one, welcome all. This is our monthly Q&A show. For those of you who are $5 subscribers on the Patreon, you get access to the video feed of this. Dan and I right now are keeping track of this.
Both wearing gray shirts.
Both
wearing
gray
shirts.
If
that really entices you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gray shirts. Yeah. It says the solid verbal in Ty's frame no less than 3 to 4 times.
Heavily branded over here.
His wall. Yeah. You have a nice little room going on there.
Heavily branded. Verballers.com is again where you can find all that information on the Patreon. Also, don't forget to follow along on your podcasting app of choice, along on social media. And I guess this maybe is going to be the last time I put out calls at submissions.solidverbal.com for writing samples.
Oh, yeah.
We've gotten dozens of these, and we're still going through them. I know people have written in like, hey, just want to make sure you got my submission. We did. We thank everybody so much for their support and their willingness to want to be part of the movement here. We're doing our best to try and get through all of those that came in. So thank you again, Dan. What do we got on the docket here? We got a Q&A show before us, do we not?
We do. I was thinking about all of the M's in our life right now. We have the month of May and Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Mother's Day coming up. And so I decided to add a few more M's into the fold with regard to question prompts. And that includes, what did I put? M schools. So schools that begin with the letter M. Matchups in 2021. I was going to include MAC schools, but I figured we might not get enough questions about MAC schools. And I have mysteries in college football. Though somebody asked about cryptids.
Yeah.
Cryptids, which are mysterious creatures of unknown existence. So creatures like the Chupacabra or the Loch Ness Monster or the Yeti or Sasquatch, things like that. And who would make for the best quarterback? And normally I don't love those questions, but it did get me thinking.
Yeah, no.
It did get me thinking. So let's do the college football questions first. I don't know if there's any news or other housekeeping you wanted to get into, but we have a bunch of M things to get into, and I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, other than Tyler Buchner, quarterback of the future, Tyler the Creator, coming to a South Bend campus near you, I have nothing else. Nothing.
Well, and he's also from, apparently, he's from vaguely where I now live.
Yeah, yeah, this is true.
I found out that I have like a connection to his family, who I guess they're now in San Diego, but they're very excited. I saw a Facebook post from his mom after the spring game that he scored his first college football touchdown. They were so excited. So I guess I have that insight into Notre Dame's quarterback of the future. And I don't think I have many more things. Obviously, more and more players entering into the transfer portal. I saw a big-time recruit from Ohio State is now going to Alabama. But in terms of movement across the sport, nothing too dramatic right now, I don't think.
As you enter into old manhood, Dan, we will convert you over to the Notre Dame side of the coin yet. Mark my words.
I can't do it. I just can't. Sorry.
Where are we going first here with our questions that came in, Dan?
So speaking of Ohio State, speaking of big matchups, we have Jordan asking about what are the most interesting aspects of Oregon's trip to the Horseshoe in September. Yeah. By the way, Ohio State plays 4 M schools. All from the Big Ten. So what is that? Minnesota, Michigan, Michigan State, and Maryland,
right,
if my math adds up. What is your preferred enchilada sauce? Because I did say Mexican food as well. It's Cinco de Mayo, and it marks the, I think, a win over the French, a battle. The Mexican army, military win over the French. It wasn't like Mexican Independence Day, and they don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo to any sort of dramatic degree in Mexico.
Right.
But it's big here. So he asked about preferred enchilada sauce base. So is it a pepper base, like a chili pepper base or a tomato base? Let's talk about Oregon, Ohio State first, because that is one of the premier non-conference matchups that we have coming up in a few months. To you, what stands out about the game in terms of interesting aspects and angles?
Possibly the earliest exit for the Pac-12 from national significance.
How
since we started the playoff.
You! But you're not wrong.
Yeah, no, and I say that half jokingly, but Ohio State should be a pretty good favorite going into that game. The most obvious thing, I think, is the Ohio State quarterback situation. I don't know if either you or I is all that concerned that they're going to be able to fill that hole, but Justin Fields walking out the door, it's certainly not an easy void to fill. And an early season matchup against a good team, maybe they're not a playoff-worthy team, but a good team, no less, with the Oregon Ducks. Yeah, that strikes me as a really interesting matchup to see what Ohio State can do, new signal caller against a really good team in a big non-conference game. That's the most obvious storyline to me.
Yeah, I think there are storylines all over the place. Obviously, replacing Justin Fields is an enormous one. So it seems it's likely CJ Stroud, who was recruited by Oregon from Southern California. You're talking about two of the deeper receiver groups in the country. Ohio State gave up a lot through the air last year. And so this looks like it's going to be pretty much, I think maybe outside of what, Seven Banks, a new look Ohio State secondary. And so Oregon has a bunch of super experienced and really young receivers that could be impact guys. Now, got to get them the ball, and that's Anthony Brown, and we'll see what happens. But Ohio State going to look a little bit different all over that defense, losing, you know, some big starting names all over the place. They've obviously recruited quite well. And Oregon, they have essentially, I think, the best edge rusher in the country coming after a quarterback playing in his first big game. And Ohio State brings back 2 tackles. So I think there's interesting matchups all over the field. It's just so, what does that game look like in terms of, it's luckily for both teams, week 2. So they each, I think Oregon has Fresno State in week 1. I don't know who Ohio State has. So yeah, I think it's quarterback, and I think it's Oregon looking a little bit different up front and Ohio State looking different all over the place on defense, looking to take an enormous step up from where they were last year when they gave up a lot, most notably in that game against Alabama, that game against Indiana. Yeah. It was not a defense that maintained a level of play from 2019. So I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup. And you're probably right in terms of national narrative that, you know, it's not just a playoff thing. It's Oregon's the sort of standard bearer right now for the Pac-12 in terms of non-conference matchup against another big name school. And that helps to dictate the Pac-12's reputation more than it does for other conferences in a similar position.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, again, I think Oregon's going to be a very good team. It's just rising to the level of Ohio State, especially early. You know, we talk
and they
about
were supposed
this.
To play last year in Eugene. The game got canceled, right? So we would have had a better concept of things. Yep.
I think it's very easy to approach this game from the perspective of Ohio State at quarterback, and they've got some turnover there, obviously. But it's also early season for Oregon.
Sure.
Breaking in some new faces. So what will they do? What will they look like early? I believe that game's in Columbus, right?
Yep, it's at the Shoe.
Yep, at the Shoe. So,
no Trey Sermon, but it's Master Teague, and I believe it's Steel Chambers.
Yeah, great name.
Is one of the running
backs.
Great name. Yeah, fantastic name. So, yeah, all sorts of fascinating. And then, of course,
what can they do
Wilson.
Early on the road in the C-Bus? Okay, where are we
going
next?
By the way, I will probably say, I think it's Pepper. Well, I think it's Pepper. I do like all sorts of different pepper-based enchilada sauces, but I love tomatillo, which is the green tomato, but that's not technically a tomato, though it's in the nightshade family. I don't know. I'm going to say pepper.
I've had
sauces for enchiladas.
I've had tomatillo. I've had the tomatillo sauce. Yes.
It's good, right?
Yes, it's very good.
A salsa verde.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Will Michigan be, because of the M theme, moderately mediocre or miraculously marvelous? I'm going to trend it more towards mediocre.
I would trend it more towards mediocre as well.
Yeah.
Just because marvelous is such a like superlative, you know, I think we've been waiting for Michigan to get there under Jim Harbaugh. I think this may be the last opportunity he has to actually get them to that level.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like this is the last hurrah for Harbaugh, and Michigan will probably have a fine season. They've got
What does that mean?
Nine wins.
Super competitive if Ohio State is where we think they'll be by then.
Yeah. And look, 9 wins for most teams is fine. But yeah. I just feel like Michigan faithful expect more. They wanted more when they brought Harbaugh on. I think he's done a good job. He hasn't gotten them quite to the heights that they expected. And anything short of 10 wins, for better or worse, is going to be viewed as moderately mediocre. And that's not fair, but that's just a court of public opinion.
No, it's fair. Given the resources, given the relative recruiting success, it's fair to say that 9-3 is disappointing. So, yeah, I think how many years do you have to find and develop quarterbacks? And how many times has Jim Harbaugh and how many times has Michigan recruited a dude who has worked out? Is it 0 times?
No.
Is my math correct? Is it Jake Rudock and a little bit of Shea Patterson, two guys who came in as transfers, and now we have, what, J.J. McCarthy as a true freshman, or Cade McNamara, who they determined to be behind Joe Milton last year?
Right.
So, I don't know. Quarterback and defense. The defense is a giant question mark. They're changing coordinators and scheme, and quarterback's a giant question mark, too. I don't know how you can be super optimistic about the ceiling of this Michigan team. There are pieces on both sides of the ball, especially up front on defense, but you know, if we get the best of Donovan Jeter, the best of Aiden Hutchinson, guys like that, but I don't know.
I just
look at the two deep and I think to myself, yeah, they're going to lose 1 to 2 games they could win or will be out talented against. It's hard to see them as a team that is winning the tough ones and hanging with the best of their schedule.
The problem for Michigan is similar to the problem that every school in the SEC has with Alabama. Michigan's got to get in front of Ohio State. I think in order for the hire of Jim Harbaugh to be truly validated, they've got to find some way to knock off Ohio State, to move on beyond that final game, to get into the Big Ten championship. maybe go a little bit further. That's what they have to do. That is the measuring stick by which they are graded here. And I just don't see that happening. They could have a fine team this year. I don't see that happening.
If you had to pay to go to a non-conference game, Ty, so that's, you know, food and hotels, all this is from Parrish. Invest your own money. Hotels, tickets, dining, which non-conference game are you hitting up in 2021?
I had a hard time with this question.
You had a hard time. Alabama, Miami?
I had a hard time with this question because for me, it's hard not to be instantly drawn towards what I think is going to be the best game. I think the best game of the lot will probably be Clemson, Georgia. I would like that matchup a lot more if it were in Athens or even if it were in Clemson, but it's actually in Charlotte on September the 4th. And you know how we feel about neutral site games. Now, have you been to Charlotte? I have not. I've been to the airport.
Ty, I've recommended ramen in Charlotte no less than 3 times on this show. Shout out Fudo Buddha.
But is that a reason to go?
You got Jeff Schwartz availability. You have the NASCAR Hall of Fame, which I've been to, and it's pretty cool. You have Hush Puppy availability. Carolina Panthers football.
Not on 9-4.
LaMelo Ball. I'm trying to think of, if I'm the Charlotte Board of Tourism for early September, what am I selling? Cookout.
Yeah.
Steph Curry went to college nearby.
Isn't there a barbecue sauce type thing in North Carolina, like a special kind of sauce?
I think that's more, well, yeah, it's a vinegar-based barbecue sauce, but I think that is more, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I think that's more in the western part of the state.
Okay.
So,
I mean,
Charlotte's a perfectly nice place, especially if you're in banking. Isn't it B of A and Wachovia?
That's right.
Whatever Wachovia was part of. I think those are both based in Charlotte. It's a perfectly nice place. I almost moved to Charlotte way back when. So I think it's fine. But in terms of destination, yeah, I don't know. I mean, is there a NASCAR race you can go to that weekend? That's
pretty
fun.
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
That would be cool. I'd be okay with that. But so that's where my eye was drawn first.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson, Georgia. I am interested in the Auburn-Penn State game. And it may not be the highest level matchup, and perhaps I am biased, but that just seems like a fun mid-September matchup that you don't usually see. Typically, you'd see that in like a bowl game, right?
Bo Nix, Sean Clifford, your hard-earned money. Yeah,
I think I don't know what Beaver Stadium is going to look like in mid-September. My guess is they'll have 70% in the stands. I would think that would be a really cool atmosphere. I think you'll get a good crowd for that game. Anytime you've got Big Ten SEC like that, outside of a bowl game, it's sort of an attraction. And look, if part of the rubric here is me spending my own money, you can find a cheap hotel in central Pennsylvania, like 45 minutes away, dog. You don't got to pay for the Nittany Lion Inn. You can go over to Danville and get a cheap day's in. So, I think, I don't know, that's an interesting matchup to me. Do you have any thoughts on this question?
Yeah. I would go to Atlanta that weekend. I would go see Bama, Miami. I have friends and family in Atlanta. You can eat super well. Isn't that the weekend that first weekend is Dragon Con in Atlanta?
Great.
There's all sorts of things happening in Atlanta that weekend. You have the College Football Hall of Fame. Again, good food. I can go for a run. Be nice weather outside. I think that's my move.
Okay.
And you get Bryce Young, you get hopefully Derek King. I mean, Alabama should win that game comfortably. It's a cool stadium that I haven't been to, allegedly. I haven't been, but I don't know. I think that's my answer.
All right, next topic.
Next question. You want to pick it? You have the doc in front of you.
Yeah, I want to talk about this question about which M coach would you select if you were starting...
Oh, this is good.
A new program from scratch. And the four names here that Will has listed are Mario Cristobal, Matt Campbell, Manny Diaz, and then Bronco Mendenhall.
Was that galloping? Was that what that was?
That was a little bit of a weird lip pucker. You probably see if you look on the video here.
Yeah,
I did a little power ranking here of these four. I don't know if you want to get in on this with me.
I think he nailed the order, but yeah.
So his order was Cristobal, Campbell, Manny Diaz, and Bronco Mendenhall. You would go in that order?
I would, yeah.
Why would you put Mario first?
Recruiting, organization, and assistant hiring. Some combination. That is the trio, right? So you look at the assistants that he's hired. They've largely worked out very, very well, or I think will continue to improve within the system at Oregon. So it's Joe Moorhead and Andy Avalos, Tim DeRuiter, the assistants that he's hired, you know, Brian McClendon at receivers coach. I mean, guys have just, they've hung around. I think he's done a good job on both sides of the ball. And Alex Mirabal along the offensive line. He's increased the size of that football staff in a place that it's difficult to win. So if we're saying a team from scratch, it's probably not necessarily in a hotbed of recruiting. I think Mario Cristobal will hire well. I think he'll have a plan. He has his own drawbacks. I think he's stubborn and probably has a hand too much in the offense. But I like Matt Campbell a lot, but he hasn't had to organize the chairs on the deck of a major, major program quite yet. But he's turned Iowa State into a burgeoning major program. Manny Diaz I like a lot because of the youthful energy, the beard and the hair and the defense in no particular order. But I don't know what he's proven necessarily as a head coach from a winning perspective. And Bronco Mendenhall, I like a lot. But we're talking about the absolute height of his career thus far as a Power 5 conference head coach is not necessarily recruiting on a high level, not necessarily winning a number of huge games, but he won a division. He won a division in the ACC, and it's fine. I think he's a good coach.
I don't agree with this ordering at all.
Okay.
I got Matt Campbell 1. I have Bronco 2.
He's the culture winner here, Matt Campbell. 6-star culture.
Right. Cristobal 3rd and Manny Diaz 4th. I take Campbell 1st because of the culture thing, because we've seen what he's done at Iowa State where he's essentially doing more with less. And when you're starting up a program from scratch, there is an element to that that needs to be present. Otherwise, you're not going to go anywhere.
Sure.
The Bronco Mendenhall thing to me, I think it follows a similar plight. He has slowly but steadily built up UVA. He did a good job at his previous stop. We know about that. I feel like if given time to kind of organize the pieces, he could do a lot of the same stuff. He's not as flashy a name as a Matt Campbell, but there's a similarity there that I like. Cristobal, I have him 3rd. I agree with your point. We've seen him at smaller schools. He did a great job at FIU when he was coaching there. And so there's definitely an element, that organizational element of being able to assemble the pieces. I tended to veer more on the side of culture and kind of program building from the Matt Campbell aspect of things. Manny Diaz, I have last. What is the body of work with Manny Diaz? Outside of the hair, outside of the defense, well, outside of a native of Miami, like, what are we? I would take any of the other three and put them 1A, 1B, 1C.
He's had success as a coordinator at different places.
Manny Diaz would be like 5th for me. What are we going on here?
What about Jim McElwain? There's another M.
I would take McElwain over Manny Diaz.
McElwain over Manny.
What's Manny done? I love him. I love the death like a brother. What's he done?
Well, I mean, first of all, you're just completely overlooking his time at Temple. Just ignoring it. I don't know. He's youthful, energetic, smart dude. Comes across
smart
really
dude.
Well.
Yeah,
you know what? Maybe you're just not. You don't have to pay as much for Manny Diaz. Maybe it's better bang for your buck.
I don't know, man. If that's the case, he could probably get Bronco on the cheap. He would take it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other M. What other M head coaches could we evaluate here?
Marcus Freeman? No. Defensive coordinator.
Marcus Freeman's not a head coach. No, I'm not. I'm drawing a blank right now.
All right. Next question.
Yeah. Next question. Also, he said, which FBS M program will have the most wins? He picks Miami with 10.
It's a good pick.
And so your options in terms of M's, so you have Marshall with a first-year head coach, Maryland, who seems to be improving a little bit, Memphis seems to be okay, Miami and Miami of Ohio, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota with Tanner Morgan in his 414th year, Mississippi State, who I think people are weirdly high on. Have you
really
been, like, the FPI has them like as a top 12 or 15 team.
Hmm.
Have you seen that? Look up the FBI.
I'm not. I don't know if I get it.
The Football Power Index has Mississippi State based on all sorts of different projections as the number 9 team in the country.
Okay.
Maybe they're just high
on
Wally.
That's one approach. That's one approach. I don't know if I subscribe to that, but I like
Mizzou.
Yeah, I like the Miami pick. We talked about Miami's schedule on a previous episode.
Yeah.
Miami's got a very favorable schedule. So Miami with 10 is a good pick, Will.
Okay. UCLA versus LSU. Thoughts?
Ooh.
Early season matchup.
Am I crazy for thinking that LSU blows out UCLA?
I mean, you would have to explain yourself. It's September 4th.
LSU was in a very weird spot during the pandemic. They had a lot of turnover. They were coming off a national championship.
It's at UCLA, by the way. At UCLA. In the Rose Bowl, yeah.
Coming off a national championship, lose their generational quarterback. They had some guys who had opted out. There was turnover in the coaching staff as well. It was a lot of newness. And I think given the fact that we had a pandemic going on, that there weren't any normal rhymes and rhythms to fall back on to build that team up before the season started, it makes sense to me that it would be a step back year. I'm surprised more teams didn't have a step back year. So I kind of take last year in a vacuum and I put it to the side. UCLA's gotten better over the course of time. I think, I don't know. I feel better about where they're at.
Sure.
But when you ask me the question, UCLA versus LSU thoughts, I think LSU might blow them out.
Okay. LSU has a number of questions, right? They lose a couple guys, key dudes on defense, but actually bring back a ton on defense. But this is also a defense that gave up a ton, didn't get after the passer all that well last year. Offensively, questions at running back, receiver after Butte. Whoever starts at quarterback either is coming back from major injury or will be a full-time starter at quarterback. UCLA feels more established. They're not as talented. Their ceiling isn't as high as LSU, but the game's at UCLA. DTR is back. Britton Brown has a good amount of experience, even though he's the new starting running back. They blitzed the hell out of teams last year on defense, and so they at least have an identity. Greg Dulcich, I think, is one of the better tight ends in the country for UCLA. And you're talking about Chip Kelly in year 4 and LSU with, what, new coordinators on each side of the ball.
Right.
So there's a lot of newness to LSU that they could go on the road and not be on the same page early on in the season against at least what we believe to be a dangerous enough UCLA team. They almost beat Oregon with a backup quarterback last year. They lost in a shootout against SC. They knocked on a lot of doors. So UCLA might be in a more solid place. And I still believe that Chip Kelly is a good coach. So I don't know. I tend to think UCLA has a puncher's shot here.
Man, I don't know. Okay. I don't know if I feel the same. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to see a close game.
Look, I Derek Stingley and Eli Ricks should be one of the better corner duos in the country. They're right up there. There's a lot to love about LSU. And Butte is a great receiver, and he's sort of been in the shadows and didn't get the attention he probably should have last year because LSU struggled the way that they did on defense. But, you know, I like Max under center if that's where he ends up. Can we go first name for Max?
Yeah.
It could be Miles, Max or Miles, speaking of M's. So no, I think the upside for LSU is obvious, and I really hope that was it Durante Jones and Jake Peets, the new coordinators. So no, I if that's a God, what is that line to you? UCLA hosting LSU. LSU by 8.5?
Yeah, probably. Maybe a little over a touchdown. Yeah.
Yeah, if it were double digits, I would take those points quickly.
All right.
Where are we going next? Imagine that early in the season it would be double digits. Let's see.
Here we go. App State versus Miami, week 2. Is it a trap or a mismatch, Dan?
Well, would it be a letdown after Miami gets Alabama?
Probably.
Where is that game?
I got to believe that game's in Miami, but I'll look it up.
Look it up.
It does feel a little crappy to be.
Yeah. Problem with App State last year is their offense took a step back. I need to dig more into the Mountaineers to know what's going on with this year's squad, but they couldn't throw the ball like they were able to do in years past. I know they've been sort of more of a run first team, but the opportunities with an experienced quarterback seem to have been there, and they couldn't get really consistently going through the air. So just a lot. The attrition there, you know, having three head coaches in 3 years, that's just tough. So I like that they're going to be on more solid ground this year. I think it's definitely a letdown spot for Miami after that Alabama game, no matter what happens.
Totally. Now, I guess the caveat would be if Alabama blows out Miami the way they blow a lot of teams out, that game could be over early and we could find that Miami's starting to prepare for App State by like the second half of that game.
Take it all out.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the opening four games for Miami in the month of September, Alabama neutral site game in Atlanta, App State back home the following week, Michigan State, an interesting non-con game the week after.
Mm-hmm.
And then who is this? Central Connecticut.
Yeah. CenCon. Yeah. So, I guess a lot depends on Derek King's health.
Yeah. I think it's a little trappy.
Sure.
Probably a bit of a mismatch as well. Maybe a little bit of both.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Next question.
Let's get to the cryptids question. You want to ask that one?
Sure. Which this was from, was it Brian? Bread Buddy. Sorry, I knew it was a BR. Bread Buddy, which mysterious cryptid would make the best college quarterback? Cryptid, of course, is your Loch Ness Monster, Yeti, Sasquatch, Chupacabra, a mythical beast not confirmed to actually exist. A Kraken. Right. Do you have a list of cryptids in front of you?
I do. And I see the Kraken in front of me. It has not been released.
First, tell me, what do you think, just in terms of attributes, tangibles, untangibles, intangibles, makes for a good college quarterback?
Well, I think the most basic thing is you got to be able to stand upright and see over the offensive line.
I think that's reasonable, but I'm willing to make exceptions for the right case. Continue.
Like right now, I'm looking at a sea serpent, which looks like a big old snake,
right?
Like a sea dragon of sorts.
You got to have a very specific system.
Yeah, I mean, it would almost have to be more of a Navy ground-based attack if you were going to go the sea serpent route.
Right, or sea-based attack, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how that works. Definitely more of a system quarterback if we're thinking in terms of sea serpents. The obvious one to me is something like a Bigfoot, something like even a Chupacabra, which can walk.
Chupacabra's not bad, yeah.
A skunk ape, which I had never heard of before and looks ferocious.
Yeah.
The Yeti, is we can have a conversation about the Yeti may also be able to play linebacker depending on agility or mm-hmm. left tackle, depending on, you know, how stable a base we're talking about here. But I tend to color more inside the lines of we need a creature that walks on two legs.
Okay. I'm with you. The problem with your abdominal snowman Yeti situation is they're built for the cold.
Okay.
What are you doing in Athens in early September? How are you taking a Yeti to Baton Rouge and expecting them to be able to compose themselves physically under all that fur?
It's the big coolers. They have the coolers on the side.
I know.
Blow the mist.
Literally, there's a cooler named Yeti.
Yeah, this is true.
That worries me. The Chupacabra is interesting because you're talking about Mexico, Central America, so they're used to the heat. Though I think there's probably an over-aggressive element to the Chupacabra because you want poise. You want a studious gentleman behind center. And Chupacabra is just, it's just sneaking out in the night and eating goats, sucking their blood. So it's just, I think there's too much aggression. You want the sort of a more measured player back there at quarterback. Skunk ape is interesting to me, Ty. I read the lore, Florida-based, so I like that.
Right.
You like how Florida develops talent. And it's something about stalking sailors and fishermen. So there is that degree of concentration and focus from the skunk ape. Still, again, I have not heard of the skunk ape before today, but here, there might have been a record label called Skunk Ape Records. That's the only thing that jumps out to me. But yeah, so you're talking bipedal, using feet, legs. So that element is interesting to me. I did not realize that literally every lake has a lake monster.
Yeah,
in this cryptid list. Every lake has a lake monster. The Kraken.
The Kraken's interesting to me. Because I'm looking at
a dude back there. Ty, you want a dude.
Well, you do want a dude. But here's the thing about the Kraken. If the picture is to be believed, if the ancient folklore is to be believed about the Kraken, it's kind of like a super octopus with many different arms. And so I'm wondering...
Make all the throws?
Maybe can make all the throws. Perhaps a bit of a noodle arm, like maybe a little bit of an Ian Book back there. Don't know what his arm strength is.
Okay.
But I think we've got the opportunity for multiple simultaneous stiff arms, which could come in handy to keep defenders at arm's length, buying yourself time to make some sort of throwing motion down the field.
Are we overthinking this and not going Bigfoot? Who has proven to be able to navigate various terrains, will be able to see over the line, maybe change direction isn't there, but a number of large quarterbacks have succeeded, college football and beyond.
The Bigfoot is the Trevor Lawrence of this draft.
Yeah.
I think it's more
Big
of a
Ben
sure
Roethlisberger.
Thing.
Yeah.
More of a sure thing. I would say the Kraken is probably more of a Trey Lance project type. You could work with that. There's a lot to like. The tools are there. You just need to figure out how best to assemble.
Upside is absolutely there.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. This is the best question we've gotten in a long time. Who sent this in?
Bread Buddy?
Bread Buddy.
Yeah.
My man. Okay. I do want to talk about this question here from Nick at
the
bottom.
Yep.
He said, I had never seen Moana. When the I Am Moana episode came out, now when it's on, a song plays or someone mentions it, all I can think of is Ty yelling, I Am Moana. Can Ty host an optional series entitled I Am Moana, where he just tells tales of overcoming his life's obstacles? Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. Can we go back and turn the page to a very fond moment in solid verbal history?
Sure.
You hated this show.
Yeah, super much.
You hated this show. I went back. I found it was 2 years ago that we did the show, if you can believe that.
Maybe. Couldn't even tell you what saying I am Moana means as it relates to this show in college football.
You're a father of two. Have you seen the movie Moana?
I saw the movie Moana before I became a father. At certain points, when people enjoy an animated movie, I'm just going to watch it, especially if it's Disney or Pixar. And I guess Pixar is Disney, but yeah, like I watched Coco and WALL-E and Ratatouille, all these movies because they're just good movies. So I watched Moana, which I thought was good. I watched Frozen and it was not that good to me. Okay. But I did watch Moana and enjoy it. I thought Maui was fantastic. I thought Moana was great. I thought I forget what the crab's name is, but Shanu. And that was great.
Keep
all good.
Keep the hot Disney takes separate from this. Maybe we could do that on an off-topic show at some point. But the point of the Moana show was that in the movie, Moana is aspiring to be her true self.
Yeah.
Her people are an island people. They're sort of nomads. They go from island to island. That's what they do. They live on the sea.
But they found home in...
They found home, and they were relegated to an island because they were scared to go out.
Mount Montanu? Something like that.
Let's not get specific. I don't recall.
I listen to the music a lot with a two-year-old right now.
Fair. But they were afraid to kind of venture beyond for circumstances. And Moana took it upon herself to go out there to be the adventurous type.
Yeah, to try and
go out on the sea and fix things. Mm-hmm. So the whole point of the episode was, in a college football sense, is this program bound for greatness, or are they about as good as they're going to get? Are they stuck on their island now, or can they go out and aspire for more? I don't understand why you don't get that concept.
It was more of you making me say I am Moana over and over again. I think
I can live with that. I can live with that, but I stand by the concept. The concept was okay. We've done far dumber concepts.
So,
are
you asking me to revisit and ask me which programs are Moana right now?
No, we're not doing that right now. We don't have enough time for that. Maybe Moana version 2 can come at some point of Friday this fall. To answer Nick's question, I'm not going to be doing a limited run series on Moana. I'm just not going to do that. But I did want to take this opportunity to see if I could cut to the core of why you hated that show as much as you did. And I think we have our answer now, so I'm ready to move on.
Well, it was basically because you made me say, like, yes, Ty, Michigan State is Moana, or something like that, over and over again.
Listen, we got a lot of hours to fill over the course of a year here on this college football show. So,
next question about Mother's Day. Let's go through some Mother's Day questions. Alex wants to know best breakfast in bed foods to serve for Mother's Day. Ty, you have a mother.
I do. Yeah.
You wish her a happy Mother's Day.
I do. Yep.
If you were to deliver breakfast in bed to Mama H, what would it be? And generally speaking, what category of foods makes the most sense?
Well, breakfast foods, obviously.
Thank you, Ty.
Breakfast.
Thank
foods.
You so much for that insight. Be specific.
I'm a big fan of the egg genus.
God.
You know, I make a wonderful omelet.
Omelet's not a bad answer.
So for me, it's omelet. One of my patented omelets. We can throw a bunch of toppings in there. You got to try and garnish with some fruit, maybe some strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess it depends what else mom is into. Could throw some bacon on there if you want. I don't know how well that plays as like a breakfast in bed food with the grease, but it's an option.
That's the thing. So you start bringing berries into the mix. You start bringing greasier foods into the mix, and they become threats to the bedding.
Yeah. How do you feel about hash browns?
I think they're delicious. I just don't know if they're breakfast in bed food. I have an answer.
Yeah, go.
And it's a minimal threat, but it's a threat to the bedding. I would go just to get whoever you're serving in bed, if it's like your wife because you have a kid, or it's your mother, whoever, and you're a little kid, and you bring it. I think cinnamon rolls are the move. Cinnamon rolls and coffee.
Cinnamon rolls are sticky. What if that gets on the bedding?
There are cinnamon rolls that you could do. Maybe just icing on the top instead of all the way around the perimeter.
Wow, man. That seems like a mess waiting to happen.
It's a potential mess, but you have the tray. You have a tray in front of you, and you set the stage really well with the smell of cinnamon rolls baking in the oven. You can go Pillsbury, you can go homemade. It doesn't matter because it's about the smell and it's about the effort. So I would say coffee and cinnamon rolls.
Could you do waffles?
You could, but are you going berry? Are you going powdered sugar? Are you going syrup?
Yeah. I think
syrup is more of a wild card than icing. Syrup runs, I think, more than icing tends to on a...
No, it's true.
Icing hardens on the cinnamon roll.
I think what we're getting at here is that breakfast in bed may be overrated.
I mean, I would love to be served breakfast, but I'm okay with it. I'm totally good with it.
All right, next question.
In honor of Cinco de Mayo, Joey, we'll do more Mother's Day too. Queso or guacamole? The correct answer is both, obviously, but you have to pick one. What are you going with? Are you going queso and all, you know, any sort of insertion into the queso, chorizo, what have you, counts, chorizo con queso, or guac?
I think I go queso. Yeah.
I think I go guac.
I go queso, but...
Personal pref.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good with both, but I'd probably go queso.
The only difference with queso is you got to attack it early, because once it hardens, that's that.
Yep. Yep.
Because that's sort of the shelf life of queso. Dan Klobuchar, what are your thoughts on Mudvayne's reunion tour? Because it's an M. I knew Mudvayne, like, vaguely. I knew that they were kind of a dress-up metal, new metal band that peaked in the early 2000s, late 90s. But it took me going back and researching to confirm, and I don't think I knew the Mudvayne sauce. I don't have any Mudvayne reunion thoughts. Should I get my mom an outdoor speaker for Mother's Day?
I don't
There's
feel
not a
like,
lot of thought in that.
I don't feel like that's a great Mother's Day gift. That's a great no. Father's Day gift.
It's a pretty good... I mean, that's generalizing that dads are going to like electronics more. I think dads are just tend to be dumber about appreciating stuff like that.
I think that's my point.
I tend to go more personal with a Mother's Day gift. Pictures, frames.
Bombas. You could do Bombas.
Experience. Bombas, of course, of course, of course. I think it's fine. I mean, I don't know your mom, so maybe your mom's into Bluetooth electronics. I think it's fine. I think it's the gesture that counts.
I'll say this.
Guac today. Yeah.
I've tried to get Mama H electronics for maybe 5 years running now.
Has any of it been successful?
Marginally.
Man, it's tough. Because you know what you're doing? When you give the gift of something digital to a parent,
yeah,
there's a good chance that you are teaching, reteaching, troubleshooting, fixing, restarting, reprogramming.
You become tech support.
You're signing up for tech support.
Yeah. I have tried the technology angle several years running now.
Yeah.
I had the most success when I bought a basket of Italian things, Italian foods, delicacies,
a
spices.
Basket of Italian iPads.
Off Amazon and sure. gave that instead. Just a gift basket of Italian food stuff was received better than any or all of the electronics that I've gotten, Mom H.
Yeah, and I think in my, if not our personal experience, go with what you know they already like instead of what you think they'll like.
Yeah, okay. Next question.
I think that's tough. Easiest way to make homemade Mexican food better, Alexander wants to know on this Cinco de Mayo. Ty.
All you. All
tips
you, man.
And tricks? You make Mexican food sometimes.
I do, but usually I just ask you, so you're up.
If you have a local Mexican grocery store, I would go there. For great fresh ingredients like perhaps dried peppers that you could reconstitute for sauces, salsas, marinades, stuff like that. That makes a pretty huge difference. You can learn about spice levels and flavors pretty easily with Google, whether it's, you know, ancho chilies or guajillo, stuff like that. Even in your chilies, a base of reconstituted peppers like as a puree. It's fantastic. Go to those Mexican markets. I think that's sort of it in terms of making it better. It just anytime you can use your own sauces or salsas that you can. I mean, we talked about this last summer a little bit, right? With the making of the homemade salsa.
It's true.
It's such a difference maker instead of buying jarred elements to Mexican food. And especially at those Mexican markets, if there's a local place that makes tortillas, a local Mexican bakery that makes tortillas, that's huge. Throw them just straight right onto the stove. To crisp them up on over medium heat and flip it with the tongs real quick and crisp up your tortillas that way. That tends to soften and crisp them up. If that makes sense at the same time. I think that's a difference maker, but no, it's just going to where the Mexican food is best and looking how you can use those elements. Because yes, if you make an enchilada sauce out of like a guajillo pepper puree or whatever, and this sounds like I'm being
what was that
super
word?
Snobby.
Guajillo?
So G-U-A-J-I-L-L-O.
Oh my god.
Guajillo.
Yeah. Whatever.
It makes a difference. It just makes a difference. those peppers, making your own salsa, making your own sauces. That would make a big difference. Next question. Ty, do you have any more Mother's Day questions that you want to touch on?
No, this question from Tom here, I must admit that initially I read it as mole instead of mole.
Yeah. So what's your best mole experience? Like when you're infiltrating an organization?
Right. That was my first thought. Like I'm in 24 back in the days.
How familiar are you with mole? How familiar?
I've had mole. Yeah.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Very good.
Yeah. It can be somewhat complicated to make. So, you know, it can be like an overnight sauce or take a week to make, stuff like that, because it's really, really, really slowly reduced sauce. I had a great mole experience in Mexico City at a super nice restaurant there, where they've been adding to their what they called madre mole to keep the Mother's Day thing. Madre mole. So they've been sort of feeding that mole for like 10 years, something like that. So that's the ceiling for my mole experience. And you know, people think that mole is sweet because it has chocolate, but I think it's generally unsweetened chocolate, so it just adds some good body to it. Tom's asking how to get somebody to try mole or try to make mole for the first time. Just dive in. Anytime you're going to cook something for the first time, it's likely going to be underwhelming. You just got to keep doing it. You got to build up those reps.
Share any tips for someone trying to make mole for the first time. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no tips. Just keep practicing.
Real Sugar Shane. My wife is a soon to be mother in the fall. Best first Mother's Day gift idea. So we're talking about next Mother's Day or gift for your wife this fall when she becomes a mother.
Right. I think he's saying just for first Mother's Day gift, whether it's this year or next.
Mm.
What did you do for Jody with an I?
I have no idea. Well, I have no idea because I think the timing was such where the solid toddler was born in late January. So I don't know if we knew the Mother's Day before then. I'm not positive we did. It's possible. It was just so early on in the process that we weren't fully ensconced in preparing to be parents. So it would have been the first Mother's Day. And the first Mother's Day, I remember, I got her a picture of my mother-in-law holding Jody when Jody was a baby. And we had inadvertently taken a very similar picture of Jody holding the solid toddler when he was quite young. And I got a double picture frame, right? Okay. So could put those sort of side by side.
A generational type play is what you want.
A total generational nostalgia type play. And it landed very well. A nice card and that. So steal that idea by all means. It went over really well. So that's what I did for the first one. So that's what I would recommend. I have recommendations for what you can get your wife this fall as the date approaches, but that's not really Mother's Day.
Yeah, would not suggest the outdoor speaker in case you're wondering for this occasion.
If she's super into immersive outdoor sound, then that becomes very thoughtful.
I like giving the gift of electronics. You know this. That would not be my first preference here. Just got to say.
What are you getting Mama H this year?
Have not decided yet.
She's probably listening, so you probably can't give too much away.
No, there's nothing to give away. I haven't purchased it yet. I do this every year. I tell myself at the beginning of April that Mother's Day is right around the corner, and I should probably get my thoughts together and purchase a gift. And inevitably, I'm searching on Amazon for what I could get via Amazon Prime 2 days or less.
Would she find it funny if you gave her a giant framed print of yourself at like a department store, like a formal pose at like a, you know, a Sears JCPenney type, and you gave it to her in like 18 framed 18 by 24, like now, like you would go now and do it
like an Olin
like
Mills
stepbrothers pose
photo.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
I think
would that
she
be something she'd be into, kind of a goof.
I don't know if she would interpret that as a goof, Dan.
She was just like, it's my beautiful Tyler.
I think that would be her reaction. Yeah.
Okay.
I could try it. I don't really have any desire to, but about now, that's the best idea I have. What are you doing for Mama Rubenstein?
Oh, man. Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea. She's here now, but she won't be here for Mother's Day. She'll leave him before then. She and my dad. I don't know.
See, then you don't got to worry
about
it.
I have Mama Rubenstein. I have Jody with an I.
Right.
And it's her first Mother's Day as a mother of two.
Mm.
So I should probably get on that.
Will you do the thing where you get a gift from each of the kids, or are you going to do one big group thing?
No, it's got to be just everybody for themselves.
Okay.
You know what else you could do, Ty? Oh, this would be great. You have the good camera that you're using right now, the Sony that we use.
Yep.
You get Solid Wife Kate to take a headshot type picture of you, you know, the blurry background and like something that you would see on the wall of a dry cleaners. You've seen those before where they have like the celebrity signing. So you get a headshot of yourself and you design it. And so it says like Ty Hildenbrandt, the Solid Verbal. SI on campus, whatever, like your credits, like TV's MASH.
Right.
And you sign it and frame it and give it to your mom.
Wow.
So she can put on her wall.
That's an extremely self-absorbed Mother's Day gift.
It's so incredibly self-absorbed. You get your mom a custom headshot of yourself and you sign it over and it's glossy and framed and it just can go in her breakfast nook.
Yeah. That might be a little much, but it may be the best idea I have at the moment. So
we did those. I did those with my roommates when I had roommates in California. We each took headshot photos exclusively so we could sign them and put it on our wall in our apartment.
Right.
So I think you should take the idea. Yeah. I think, you know, West Coast Kevin had a great one. Next one. Any other questions, Ty, that jump out to you?
Nothing. No, I'm fresh.
That's it.
I'm fresh out.
Any more LSU thoughts?
No.
Can they get to 10 wins?
Maybe.
Open up their schedule. This is, we're going to close with LSU. Can LSU get to 10 wins this year? The
All
best
right.
of LSU. Two new coordinators.
Here is LSU's
schedule.
Quarterback
situation in flux. Yeah.
LSU starts the year at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
They followed up with a big game at home against the McNeese Cowboys and the Central Michigan Chippewas. Classic LSU non-conference games right there.
You're seeing 3-0 likely.
Then on the road at Mississippi State, Dan, your number 9 FPI team.
Coming off a bad loss last year. So we'll call it 3-1.
Auburn Tigers. Following week, that game is in Baton Rouge.
New coach. Don't necessarily love that Auburn offense in year one. We'll call it 4-1.
At Kentucky.
It's 5-1. We'll call it 5-1.
Back home against the Florida Gators, Dan. Florida starting over in a lot of key spots.
Yeah. Literally threw that game away last year, the Florida Gators did. Don't trust quarterback right now with Florida. I need to see something. Losing a lot of key contributors. Recruiting has been fine, but not overwhelming. Okay. I'm willing to say 6-1.
At Ole Miss.
Crazy game last year. I'll say 6-2.
At Alabama, that's a loss.
So there's your 10-win loss. That's 6-3.
Then Arkansas, ULM, and Texas A&M to close out the season.
Texas A&M going to be extremely tough. Yeah.
8-4, 9-3. Based on that.
9-3. Well, 9-3 with a bowl gets to 10. So
yeah. Okay.
If that's how you like to evaluate records, they could.
All right. Well, write in. Look, solidverbal@gmail.com. As always, that is the email address. Final call at submissions@solidverbal.com for any writing samples. All y'all want to send it. If you want to be part of the movement here, help us write for the site, write for the newsletter.
Yes.
Got all sorts of fun stuff planned for this coming football season. Don't forget to follow along on your podcasting app of choice or on your social media platform of choice. All of that is available to you. We do our best to post as many places as possible. We only have a limited amount of time in the span of a day, but we're doing our best to be in as many spots as we can, Dan.
I'm looking to see if any more questions. I don't want any bad ones. Best groomsmen gifts. Does that feel like a Mother's Day question or a Mexican
really
food gift? Hard versus soft tacos. Somebody asked about how to know when your soft taco is filled adequately. Mm-hmm. If you imagine a tortilla as the Oregon logo and as the outer part of the O, I wouldn't go beyond the inner part of the O with your fillings. Because once you fold it, you know, you don't want it to overstretch. I think that's all I have. I think we got to the best ones. I'm good.
Daniel, you enjoy your weekend.
Hey, Ty, you very much do the same. We have So Now What? Beginning next week.
So Now What starts next week. It is our deep dive inside the season that was in 2020. We've got our first one. Yeah, we've got our first one coming up on Tuesday, where we are going to talk about the conference decision making that led to this awkward, oblong college football season, pandemic-laden college football season in 2020. You'll recall the Big Ten pulled the plug on its season, then plugged it back in. What was the story on that? What happened there? Why did that happen? Mm-hmm. We talked to some of our favorite reporters and friends to find out. And then as part two rolls along a little bit later in the week, we're going to try and figure out, like, what do we learn from that experience? From the way that conferences made their decisions, from the way that they communicated out with the public, not just the public, but with member schools, with players, with coaches, et cetera, et cetera.
The internal politics of conferences were put on display in a way I don't think they were in years past.
Exactly. So we're going to start there, and then we've got other subjects that we're going to branch out into. Hope you'll join us next week again. So Now What is going to kick off on Tuesday, Dan.
Yes. Can't wait.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thank you so very much for downloading, for listening, for watching along, and for ballers.com. We will talk to you all next week. In the meantime, enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Stay solid.
Peace.